So, good morning once again, and we're very excited to continue in our Sangha Yoga Church. We have just completed doing yoga, and so now it is my turn. I get to do what's called the Dharma Talk. The Dharma Talk is, Dharma means purpose. It's a Sanskrit word that means purpose. Now, I truly believe that our purpose is love. I also believe that that sounds really airy-fairy and hard to get our head around sometimes. And how do we do love? How do we feel love for ourselves and for others? And so we talk about it. We basically approach it from a lot of different angles. And I want to say, again, welcome and thank you to all of the people who are watching online, the thousands of people now. We are getting more shares than we used to get views, and it's just incredible. And thank you so much for the comments, the likes, and the shares that you give us. I love the comments, and I want you to know that I do personally respond to all of the comments. So thank you so much, and thank you for watching. And I also want to acknowledge once again that the biggest financial support in some weeks and in some ways are coming from the people who are watching us online, because we are tax deductible. And I know that these people are tithing. That's what's so cool. You know how you know when people are tithing? How do you know when people are tithing?
It's an exact amount,
but it's an odd amount. You know, it's not $20 or whatever. It's, you know, $247.19, you know? And there are some people who are tithing online, and someone, we just want to acknowledge and say thank you to someone in Oklahoma City who just gave a very, very, very large, beautiful tithe. So thank you, and we know that as people give, they are blessed. I want to continue. We paused last week because we were talking about Easter, but I've been teaching this concept of mindfulness over a couple of months, which is good, because if you've got time to take something in, hopefully you've got time to let it actually change you and transform you. Mindful to me is an acronym, and this is how I taught it to a group of school principals, and I just got a call from a school in New Orleans that wants me to come teach their teachers mindfulness. Isn't that cool? Yeah. It's awesome. You know, it's so funny because when I started as a professional speaker, I never said church. I never said reverend, you know, my title. I never said anything having to do with spirituality. And now that's what people are asking for. Isn't that cool? Because in a context of spirituality, not religion, you know, it's there to talk about how we're all part of one spirit. We're just light bulbs that are plugged in to the one spirit, you know? Some people may choose to congregate with these light bulbs, but we're all just light bulbs, and I love that. So I want to remind you, and this is in all of the previous videos, which you can watch at willbowenvideo.com. We've covered four of the five. Today we're going to cover number five. The M in mindful stands for, say it with me,
meditate.
Meditate. Now, I'm becoming a little bit of a, which is sort of a contradiction in terms, but I'm becoming militant about meditation. I truly am, because I can find no spiritual teacher or great spiritual leader who does not meditate. And when people say, when I'm walking in the woods, I'm meditating. No, you're not. You're connecting with spirit. You are being spiritual. But meditation is mental.
Exercise.
Everybody this time. Meditation is mental.
Exercise.
Exercise. It is just like a yoga pose. You put your mind on something and you hold it there. And if you start like, by the way, a little earlier, Marty and I always have an issue over the thermostat, but today the thermostat wasn't the problem. Honey, you had the gravity turned up too high. I was having trouble with my standing poses. Anyway, when we're in a standing pose, ba-da-bing, when we're in a standing pose, we get into the pose and then we have to stay there, right? Getting into it is often easy. It's the holding it, especially when you keep expecting her to go, okay, put your foot down, you know? But she just keeps going. So the same is true with meditation. It is put your mind on one thing and to hold it there. The I in mindful stands for
Indians,
and by that I mean sacred clowns. By that I mean that there are people that are going to get on your last nerve and vice versa, and they truly are there for your growth. I've shared with you before, we've had some crazy issues with our neighbors, and a lot of it really is misunderstandings. But when you've got people that are angry, it's hard. you know, to talk about it. And I've discovered that one of my neighbors, whenever I go out into my yard, into the backyard, if he's on his deck, he's gonna say something to me, you know? And so reflexively the other day, I just saw him as a clown like this, and I started laughing. Really, you know what? It had an even better effect than I had planned, because he stopped immediately. But we're all going to have people that are there. It sounds kind of mean. It wasn't my intention. It just happened because I was like, seriously? You're going to, you know, I'm just standing here and you're going to, I was like, ha. We all have Indians. We all have sacred clowns. And we are sacred clowns. You get that? You are there, okay? The greatest gift, I forget who said it, for politics is another party. You know, could you imagine what would happen if we only had Republicans or if we only had Democrats? I'm going to tell you my only political joke. I think it's funny. Marty does not, and you don't have to. But I think it so encapsulates both. And imagine if we only had one. The difference between a Republican and a Democrat. If someone is drowning 100 feet offshore, a Republican throws them a 50-foot rope and says, swim for it. Go ahead, laugh. You got to laugh at both of them. Okay, it has two punchlines. A Democrat throws the person 150 feet of rope, but lets go of the other end. Okay? One of the greatest things in politics, you have to have another party. That's why you have man and woo man to slow you down, guys. That's why. So we have sacred clowns in our lives, right? Who are there to slow us down, to wake us up, and grind off our rough edges. The N in mindful stands for
now.
Now. I love the quote from Yogi Berra, the great baseball player. Somebody, one of the players asked him in the dugout one day, what time is it, Yogi? And he said, you mean now? That's deep, dudes. I mean, you mean now as opposed to 5 minutes from now or 3 minutes ago? I once heard a guy, somebody asked him if he got deja vu, and he said, yes. He said, when? He said, about 6 minutes from now. We are always ahead of ourselves or behind ourselves. We so rarely are here where we are, and then before we know it, life is over. You know, there are periods now when I look at myself and I think, man, I look old, right? I thought that 15 years ago. I would love to go back to that and go, no, you don't. Shut up, dude. Enjoy what you got because you're getting old. And the same is true for all of us. We have to develop a practice of being present. Get a mindful walk. I'm going to teach you in a little bit today. I'm very excited to share with you what's called a mindful hug. And we're going to do that. The D stands for dual. And that has to do with the duality of your mind. That we have our higher self, our God self. This angel and demon on our shoulder is a very real thing for every last one of us. And so what we've got to do is to discern the two different voices and to begin to identify more with the angel. And so today what we want to talk about is forgive. I don't believe you can be present if you don't forgive. And here's what I mean. My mother had this odd ritual that didn't work. She thought it did when we were boys. I was one of three boys. And when we fought, not if, when we fought, which was frequent, by the way, they say that three is the worst possible number. One is always left out. And that used to happen. And when you get left out, you start problems. And it was usually me that would cause problems. And we would go to our moms and we would do something. He did this to me. Well, he did this to you. And he did this to me. And, you know, you started it, you know. And my mother would make us face each other and she would say, forgive and forget. Oh, heck, I didn't realize it was that easy, Mom. Sure, no problem. I'll just forget that he broke my, you know, my Monkees album with his bullwhip. And I still remember that. You can tell. That was one of the issues. So I didn't, obviously, forget. I didn't forget. And the reason I think that we have to forget is, what is the opposite of the word forget? Remember. Remember, right? Remembering is an active process. Wouldn't you agree? Forgetting is chunk that away and I'm not going to think about it. Remembering, you have to bring it up. The word forgive does not mean going up to someone and saying, I forgive you for what you did to me. It has nothing to do with interacting or talking to or being in that person's presence. That's why you can forgive someone who is long dead very easily. The word forgive means to release your resentment. It just means to release your resentment. Now, why wouldn't we release our resentment? Because when we're upset and when we're stressed, our cortisol levels get jacked up. It is terrible on our body. It can send our bodies into crash mode and it can kill us. So why would we do that? I think it's because of what Dr. Gerald Jampolsky said. He said that we would rather be right than happy. You did this to me. You did this to me, and I'm going to keep not forgetting, but what's the opposite? Remembering. I'm going to keep remembering it. I'm going to keep bringing this up. And as the Buddha said, we think that we will pull the hot coal of the pain and the other person will get burned. It doesn't work that way. I found this wonderful quote, and it's an anonymous quote, but I don't have my glasses in. Y'all read it. Remember I told you about my contact? Here we go. Forgive others, not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace. We should always be forgiving. I knew I had contacts in 20 minutes ago when my eye itched and I went and the lens rolled up under my eyelid. But to sit there and go, what is wrong with you, Will? Don't you know you're going to be on camera in front of thousands of people in just a few? I just went, it is what it is. That was a little bit of what? What did I do? I forgave myself. And forgiveness is defined as releasing your what? Resentment. Resentment. Resentment is always, how dare you do this? The thing is, some things have been done to us. How dare they have been done to us? As children especially. But they happened. And for us to carry it around does not in any way even the score. It just hurts us. It makes us burn. Sometimes we have to forgive for big things. In 1903, two bicycle shop owners from Dayton, Ohio, were testing flying devices in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. And Orville Wright flew for about 800 feet, the very first person. We think he was the first person to fly. He actually wasn't. He was the first person to fly in a manned, controlled, propelled airplane. Okay? A lot of other people had done gliders. But what the Wright brothers noticed was when a goose flies, it doesn't just have these things, right? Because it will go either up or down or into something, and those are its only choices. What does a geese do? It turns the wings, right? The Wright brothers figured out how to turn the wings. They applied for a patent. But all over the world, there were other people who were already working on flying. A man named Glenn Curtis discovered that not only do geese do this, but they literally can actually bend the tips of their wings when they fly. And he discovered and created what are called ailerons, which is French for little wings. And that's why planes work today. But we almost didn't have ailerons. You know why? Because when Wilbur Wright discovered that other people were trying to fly, he insisted that he and his brother owned the concept of flight. And the Wright brothers stopped developing their planes and spent years in court suing Glenn Curtiss. They had gotten millions of dollars handed to them to build a company. And 7 years later, Wilbur Wright was dead at the age of 45 from stress trying to stop someone. He so resented Glenn Curtiss that he let it consume him. Sometimes the things we have to forgive are big. Sometimes the things we have to forgive are silly. In Great Britain, you may have heard that there is a new environmental ship that has been created, $287 million boat to control and help with the environment in the seas. And the government decided that they were going to let the people of Britain name this boat. And names like Shackelford came forward for the great man who saved his crew by crossing the Antarctic and expedition and all of this. And one guy, trying to be funny, typed in, y'all are nodding your head, do you know what it was? Bodie McBoatface. And guess what happened? When people went online and saw that, that was Bodie McBoatface, Bodie McBoatface, Bodie McBoatface, Bodie McBoatface. So now they are left. It was overwhelming. Can you imagine the pomposity of the British Navy having to, as I'm former admiral of the Bodie McBoatface. Isn't that awesome? There's a lot of forgiveness that has to happen in this. They've got to forgive themselves for doing anything that insane, and then to not shutting it off. And actually, the guy who came up with it is really apologetic. I mean, he is tweeting all, I'm sorry, it was a joke. Y'all, it wasn't my fault. Everybody voted for it, you know? We all do stupid stuff. You've done stupid stuff. I've done stupid stuff. You'll probably do something stupid before the day's over. If not, somebody is going to do something stupid to you or for you. So my suggestion is, don't ever think of forgiveness as a vaccination. You know, I had my rubella vaccination when I was a little boy, right? I had my TB vaccination, right? There's no vaccination for forgiveness. It's a vitamin you have to take every day. Every day. Every day. As you're going to bed at night, try and bring, as Edwin Gaines says, to mind anyone you have drawn outside the circle of your heart. And then try and figure out how you can invite them back in. There are many wonderful forgiveness exercises. Marty teaches a number of them during classes. She'll have you do them. We all sit here and cry. It's beautiful. But we need to do that. We have to purge this stuff. We can't be present to now if we're remembering what happened in the past. And the very nature of forgiveness is to forget. It's to stop remembering it. That's up to you. One of the things, and this I want to share with you this morning, that I've learned recently from Thich Nhat Hanh, the great Vietnamese Buddhist monk, is he teaches a thing called mindful hugging. And I find that when I remember to do this, when I'm hugging Marty, and when I'm hugging Star, and when I'm hugging Leah, and the other people in my life, that it totally transforms me. So I've asked Marty to demonstrate this with me this morning on camera, but I want to tell you the purpose of this. The problem with now is we know it's going to last forever. And we also therefore think the people in our lives are going to last forever. Have you ever had someone leave your life tragically, suddenly, or do you know someone that that's happened to? Please raise your hand. One of the things that they teach in hospice training is that one of the things people are looking for as they exit is forgiveness. Not only to be forgiven, but to forgive you too. So this is a great experience to do on a daily basis. So, Marty, stand up if you would. And since I don't think any of people who watch me have ever seen you on camera, come here. Look how she gets shy all of a sudden. Wasn't she just like commanding this class 30 minutes ago? Hi.
Hi.
This is my beautiful wife, Marty. And we are celebrating, actually day before yesterday, the 6-year anniversary of our first date.
That's right.
So here's the concept of mindful hugging. The idea is to realize that in any moment, one of you could be gone. And you want to celebrate that you're here. So the process is you first hug and you imagine that the other person isn't there. They're gone. They're dead. They've left. Whatever. You would give anything to hug them again, and they're not there. Okay? Secondarily, you continue the hug, but you hug as if you yourself were gone. As if life had ended for you and you suddenly had a chance to come back and give this person you love so much one last hug. Okay? Third, you end with celebrating that you're both still here. Make sense? All right. We usually hug this way, but I want my face to face the camera. Now, that's not going to work with our microphone. So we'll just do, I'm going to turn you, can I do that? Turn you a little bit? All right, so we're hugging. She looks good from every angle, doesn't she? She's okay. She doesn't have a good side. She has great side. So we're hugging and imagining. Marty is thinking that I am gone, and I am thinking that she is gone from my life. And it's just that quick. Now we're thinking that we ourselves are gone, and we've had this opportunity to come back and hug each other once. And lastly, we celebrate that we're both still here. If you will do this with the important people in your life, who also are the people you most need to forgive most often because they're in your life, because they're your sacred clowns to get on your nerves, you'll have a lot less to forgive because you'll have a real firm foundation. Does that make sense? When I realize and hug and realize she could be gone, I don't care that she slams the bathroom door when she gets up in the middle of the night. So. Do you understand? So commit to doing that. We're going to work on that some more in just a moment. But we're going to close the dharma talk right now. Grab somebody's hand. Would you stand here and hold mine while I pray? Thank you. And so, Infinite Spirit, we give thanks for the capacity to forgive, to release our resentment, and to celebrate that if either of us were gone in this moment, none of it would matter. But thank you, God, we are here in this moment, able to love, able to be together, and able to celebrate our connection with you and with each other. And so it is. Amen.
Amen.